Psalm 51, if you want to turn there this morning, Psalm 51. There are at least five what they call penitential psalms in the 150 psalms, and this is probably the most well-known because it was written, we're told when it was written, there at the beginning of the psalm, when Nathan the prophet came unto David after he had gone into Bathsheba. So this was written by David through the inspiration of God after he was called out by Nathan the prophet about his sin of adultery and murder, and David's response to that. And we can learn so much from this psalm about our response to sin and failure. So we're going to look at the first 17 verses together. We'll pray and dive in. Verse 1. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So our title today is, I Acknowledge My Transgressions. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord, how we are grateful for the privilege and opportunity to assemble in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ around your precious and preserved word. And Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would now use it in each of our hearts. Lord, I pray that miracles will take place in lives today through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would push aside distractions and focus on hearing from you and responding to the Holy Spirit, that you would be glorified. Please guide us now. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe one of the most well-known psalms, I'd say Psalm 23 might be just a little bit more well-known. And Psalm 23 might be more beautiful, but this psalm is so powerful. Many times when people come to me for counseling about sin that they've fallen into, one of the homework assignments I give is for them to go home and read this psalm on their knees every day. Because we all need this. Amen? Because we're all sinners, as David said. And David is not calling upon God because of who David is. David's a man after God's own heart. David was a great king. David is calling upon God because of who God is. And we must always remember that. He's calling out for mercy there in verse 1, but not according to David's character, but according to God's loving kindness, according to verse 1, God's tender mercies. And God doesn't forgive because we deserve it, does he? He forgives because of who he is. Now, if we're Christians, our sins are forgiven. As far as going to heaven, that's done. But as far as our daily failures, we still must deal with those, or they will hinder our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And so this is such an important psalm to teach us, first of all, what our response should be when we sin, and second of all, the great things that will happen in our spiritual lives if we are willing to acknowledge our transgressions and deal with them properly. But David is essentially begging God here to, number one, verse, he says in verse 1, blot out my transgressions. Lord, please, I have failed you. And again, this was after his failure with Bathsheba and having her husband killed and committing adultery. He says, please blot this out, Lord. Please, verse 2, wash me and cleanse me from my sin. My friend, only God can cleanse sin. There's a billion people in this world that think they can go to a man and get their sin cleansed. You can't do it. Man doesn't have that power. Only God can cleanse and wash us from our sins. And it's through His Word that we get this cleansing. As we go to His Word, go to Ephesians 5:26, and we'll see this. But it's God that cleanses and washes away and blots out our sin. Now again, as Christians, our sins are blotted out for eternity in regards to heaven. But on our daily walk, we still get dirty, as Jesus said. And we have to be cleansed every day, constantly, of those daily sins, that the fellowship with God might not be hindered, as we'll look more at that later. But here in Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it, He's talking here about the church, with the washing of water by the Word. Isn't that beautiful? That God might cleanse and wash us through His Word. And it's through His Word, as we'll see later, that we are often made aware of the sins in our lives that need dealt with. And we'll see that in James chapter 1 here in a few moments. But I'd like to point out, I know it's a lot of points, 10 things in this psalm this morning, but they're separated into two groups. The first one, three things, how should we respond? And then the second one, seven things, what God will do for us if we do respond properly when we sin. So let's talk about these first three things. Number one, verse 3, acknowledge. Acknowledge, admit that we have sinned. It all starts there, doesn't it? I have sinned. And Lord, I acknowledge my transgressions. Notice He says, or my sin is ever before me. That's called conviction. And the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. It's one of His missions on this earth. We read that in John 16. He is the one that brings us to that point where we realize, I have failed God. And that sin will work in our hearts and convict us. It will be ever before us until we come to that point where we acknowledge it. And it always starts with acknowledgement. That's always the beginning of restoration, is acknowledgement and repentance. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We can't cover them. David said in Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. So it always begins with acknowledgement. This should be the first step in our response when we have failed, when we have sinned, is to acknowledge, I have sinned. Number two, verse 4, this is the tough one. Take responsibility for it. We talk a lot about this in our biblical counseling class, which we're having this term, that one of the premises of biblical counseling is we are accountable. When we sin, we cannot, like Adam and Eve, try to find a way to get around it and say, well, I'm going to try to hide from God, or I'm going to try to blame shift, which we're very good at. We're studying Saul. Saul was good at it too, wasn't he? Always blaming the people when he sinned. Aaron, he tried it when Moses came down off the mountain. He said, well, these people gave me their earrings and we threw them into the fire and out came this golden calf. Imagine that. It just came out of the fire, shaped like a calf. That's called blame shifting. And that's not the proper response. The proper response is to take responsibility. I have sinned. You know, even when it comes to differences between Christians, some of the most powerful words you could ever speak, I was wrong. Not, by the way, which I heard many times over the years, I'm sorry if you think I did something wrong. Think about what those words are really saying. I didn't do something wrong, but I'm sorry if you think I did. No, the powerful words are, I was wrong. This is taking responsibility. God, I have sinned against you. We have an example in Joseph. Go to Genesis 39. Most of us know the story of Joseph. The ups and downs in the life of Joseph. To be the chosen son, ends up a slave. Then from there, back up again, in charge of a very high person's house, and then back into prison. And then eventually back up again, second in command. But when he was tempted by the wife of his master here in verse 39, verse 9, he says, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. He's talking to the wife who's tempting him. Because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not sin against my master, but sin against God. That's taking responsibility, isn't it? David said, yes, he sinned against Bathsheba. Yes, he sinned against her husband Uriah. But he's saying, Lord, I sinned against you. Against thee have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Even as Christians, if we don't deal with sin, God will. We see that in 1 Corinthians 11, if we could turn there quickly, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. All of our sin is ultimately against God because he's the one that defines right and wrong. And yes, we often sin against others, and those need to be made right as well. But ultimately, every sin is against God. So David is not only acknowledging his sin, but he's taking responsibility for it. 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. If we don't deal with it, God will. Amen? Through chastisement. And so the first two steps when we sin is number one, to acknowledge it. The number two, take responsibility. But number three, look at verse 6 of our passage. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Number three is complete honesty. Complete honesty. Look at Psalm 15, if you would, verse 1. And this is where Adam and Eve missed the mark, isn't it? God came looking for them like he did every day in the garden and couldn't find them. Where art thou? All we hid, Lord. Why'd you hide? And they weren't honest. Notice Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell on thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and what? Speaketh the truth in his heart. Complete honesty. David said, Lord, you desire truth in the inward parts. This isn't talking about being honest with one another, which is obviously a command as well in Romans 12. This is talking about being 100% open and transparent before the Lord. We talked about this in Psalm 139 recently. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. Being willing to be open and honest about our sin, about the sins that are in our hearts, things like selfishness, things like jealousy, things like being judgmental. These things that people can't see on the outside, but God sees them on the inside. Being honest about these things. The Bible says, Psalm 90, verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. We all have secret sins. And those are the sins that we need to be honest about. Because the Bible says, Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So these are the steps that we must take when we fail, when we sin, when the Holy Spirit points out sin. Look at James chapter 1:25. I mentioned this earlier. And oftentimes the Holy Spirit will use the word, James chapter 1, verse 25, when we are in the word daily, which we must be, the Holy Spirit will often use the word as the sword that it is to point out things in our lives that we haven't dealt with and need to. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The word of God is a mirror that reflects back to us the wickedness that's in our heart and lives. And so what should be our response when we fail? It should be like David's. Number one, we acknowledge it. Number two, we take responsibility for it. And number three, we are completely honest about it, about what's in our hearts. And we all have sin in our hearts. But you know what? The rest of the psalm that we read is all the good news. If we will implement those three steps, when we sin, when we fail, God gave us seven wonderful things that he will do in our spiritual lives for us if we will deal with the sin. But just like with most things, we have to make that first move. Now, God will convict, but God will not force us to repent. I don't know. I'm warm. Are you warm, Amber? Maybe, Brent, could you turn the air conditioners on, maybe? Would that be okay? Maybe on 20? Low? It's not right there inside my door. Thank you, my brother. I see a lot of people fanning themselves. Don't want you to be hot. Don't want you to fall asleep. All right, verse 6. Let's look at the seven things that God will do for us if we will implement those three things. Take responsibility and acknowledge and be willing to be open and honest with God. What will God do? Number one, verse 6, in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. We all need wisdom. Amen? We're always asking for wisdom. James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. God says that if we will deal with the sin, if we will come to God with the right attitude about sin and be honest, one of the things he will do is give us the wisdom that we need. He says there in verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know, that's part of wisdom, is acknowledging that the trials that we've been through were allowed of God and they were good for us. Did God physically come down and break David's bones along the way? No. But look who he is crediting for the broken bones. The bones which thou hast broken. In other words, Lord, I acknowledge you're 100% in control of my life. You are sovereign. You've allowed these trials in my life that resulted in broken bones. And I pray that you would give me the wisdom that I seek, that even the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. And so the first thing that God will do for us is make us to know wisdom. The second thing, verse 10, he will give us a clean heart. We all need this, especially when we go to prayer. In the Old Testament, when the priests came, before they could enter into the holy place and pray on behalf of Israel, you know what the first thing they had to do was? They had to wash themselves at the brazen laver. Picturing that we must come before God clean. Amen? And if we will deal with our sin properly, God will take care of the sin, right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? What's the next word? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David says, Lord, I pray you would give me a clean heart. A clean heart. Proverbs 20, verse 9, if you turn there quickly, says that you and I do not have the power to cleanse our own heart. Only God can do this. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20, or verse 9. Who can say, I've made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Obviously, no one can say that. It's a rhetorical question because only God can do it. And Paul talks in 1 Timothy 1 about holding faith and a good conscience. He gave us a conscience, and obviously the conscience is part of what the Holy Spirit uses to prick our hearts. When we have a clean heart, we have a clean conscience. Amen? Remember, my father-in-law used to always say he was one of those people that could sleep anywhere, sleep instantly, sleep long. And, you know, my mother-in-law didn't sleep so well, and she's always giving him a hard time. He said, I got a clean conscience. It's easy to go to sleep at night when your conscience is clean. Amen? And it's true. So God will give us wisdom. God will give us a clean heart. Verse 10, Psalm 51, a right spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. There's a lot of Christians out there whose spirit is not right. You know why? Because they haven't dealt with the sin. They've not acknowledged it. They've not taken responsibility for it. They've not been honest about it. And so their spirit isn't right. And when your spirit's not right, you can't worship God. John 4, 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. That's the small s. And in truth, that means our spirit can only worship God when our spirit is right. Romans 8, 16, the spirit itself, that's the Holy Spirit, bear it with our spirit, small s, that we are the children of God. Even our assurance is affected, isn't it, when we don't have a right spirit? Because we're not listening to the Holy Spirit like we should. And we aren't receiving that communion from him. And of course, 1 Corinthians 6:20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so God promises wisdom, God promises a clean heart, and God here promises a right spirit. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. A lot of Christians out there that aren't walking in the joy of the Lord. You know why? Sin. It's always sin. Sin separates. Actually, let's look at that quickly, Isaiah 59, and just be reminded of what sin does. Psalm 59, verse 1. And so many Christians are not walking in the joy of the Lord. It's always about sin. There's always sin impacting their walk with God, and they're not filled with the joy of the Lord, which we should be. Psalm 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Your iniquities have separated. Sin separates. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, it's not God's fault. It means you haven't dealt with some sin. David said in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. We often sing Psalm 19 about the Word of God. Verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The joy is there. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the second one? Joy. And God promises that if we will deal with our sin properly, he will restore the joy of our salvation and uphold us with his free spirit, as he says there in verse 12. Number 5, verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Isn't that beautiful? Another thing God will do for us if we deal with our sin properly is restore that compulsion, that responsibility, and the power that we need to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Lord, if you will forgive my sin, and restore my joy, I will teach transgressors. I will begin telling others again, sinners, about your ways. And isn't that our number one mission? Is to go tell sinners about the ways of God and then how he died for them and rose again for them and offers them eternal life. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and we'll see this. Verse 24, 2 Timothy 2:24. Says the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, here it is, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's our job, to instruct those that oppose themselves, instruct them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that power will be restored, the power that we received when we got saved through the Holy Spirit, that we should be witnesses. Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. And he says, verse 13, sinners shall be converted. Hallelujah. I would reckon if I asked for a show of hands this morning, most people would say, I am saved because someone told me about Jesus. Someone along the way told me. So that's five. Number six, verse 14 of our passage. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Singing is such a big part of Christianity. And you really can't sing the way you need to sing if your heart isn't right with God, can you? But God says, through David, my tongue, Lord, if you will forgive my sin, if you will take care of my sin like I'm begging you to do, my tongue shall sing of thy righteousness. James 5:13 says, if any marry, let him sing psalms. We should be singing all the time unto the Lord. We're told to, aren't we? Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. And then lastly, number 7, verse 15. We will praise again. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. We should be praising God all the time. Not just every day, every hour. Amen. David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In Psalm 34, 1. David concludes here in verse 16 by saying, thou desirest not sacrifice. And God told us this, remember, when Saul was rebuked for his disobedience. He says, to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken than the fat of rams. He said, God would much rather have obedience than sacrifice. And that's what David's saying. Lord, you're not asking me to go sacrifice an animal. You're asking me to get right with you. And this is true in our lives as well. What are the true sacrifices? Verse 17, a broken spirit. And a broken and a contrite heart, which is what this whole passage is about. Being broken, being willing to come to God and be honest about where we stand. So it's a beautiful psalm. I barely touched it, honestly. But I know the Holy Spirit used it to speak to hearts. So number one, we need to acknowledge our sin. We need to take responsibility for our sin, and we need to be completely honest about our sin. And then what will God do for us? Number one, he'll give us wisdom, a clean heart, a right spirit. Our joy will be restored. Our witnessing will be restored. We will sing again and we will praise again. You know what this teaches us? That if we won't deal with our sin, those seven things won't be true in our lives. We have to deal with the sin. So David said, I acknowledge my transgressions. Lord, I have failed you in a big way. Adultery and murder, that's pretty serious. But I'm asking you to forgive me, Lord. taken full responsibility. I sinned against you. I was wrong. I pray that you'll restore me to you. And that's exactly what God did. And thankfully, allowed David to record it for us so we can learn too. So I acknowledge my transgressions. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. This beautiful psalm that you penned through David to teach us, Lord, that none of us are perfect, even a man after God, after your heart isn't perfect and sinned mightily, but also repented properly. I pray that we would take heart to heart what we have learned through this psalm, that we need to be honest about our sin and deal with it properly, and then watch you work miracles on our spiritual walk. Restore us to you. And I pray this will be genuine and real in our lives every day, and that the hearts that you've spoken to would be honest about sin they need to deal with even today. Thank you. We love you in Jesus.